Greg opened the back door and reached for my hand. Mrs. Stafe, Miss Grayson. He cleared his throat. Thank you, Greg. I stepped out and looked up at the pink and white sign that hung over the small cream-colored building. It read, Happily Ever After Catering, from one happy heart to another. There were pink and mint-colored cupcakes sitting in the store's windows, and when I saw the flawless display of vanilla mousse and frosted champagne glasses, I hoped we'd finally found our caterer. Jonathan held the door open for me, and I walked around the store in utter awe. The walls were painted in stripes of white and silver, stripes that complemented the displays that stood right in front of them. In front of the white backdrops, brightly colored macaroons and pie pops were standing at attention. In front of the silver ones, baby cheesecakes and tuxedoed strawberries looked as if they had been made minutes ago. Come here, look at this. I motioned him over to a fountain that spewed white chocolate. Look at how those cookies are floating, and they're all in the shape of the letter S. How cute is that? The director actually prepared for our meeting. It's very creative. I like it. I walked over to the sugary hors d'oeuvres station and inspected the cherry cupcake and miniature pie spread. I have a really good feeling about this, I smiled. The presentation is perfect, and she doesn't even have any fruit examples out here. I bet those are phenomenal. The doors to our left suddenly opened, and a blonde who looked like she was my daughter's age came out and cleared her throat. Good afternoon, soon-to-be Mr. and Mrs. Statham, she said. Welcome to Happily Ever After Catering. Our manager is finishing up an emergency call right now, but I would love to walk you through our gallery until she's able to personally assist you. I nodded, and we followed her into a huge room where mirrors covered the walls and shimmering chandeliers hung low from the ceiling. This is where we keep most of our fruit displays. By contract, we're able to accommodate weddings of up to 500 people. Anything over that requires an additional per-person charge, and we can only increase up to 2,000 due to our permit. This is amazing. I picked up a small ice sculpture that held dove-shaped pineapples and caramel-covered cookies. You know what? I don't need to see anything else. I clasped my hands together. This is it. This is who I want to book with. The woman blushed. Really? I'll be right back with my manager. Jonathan pulled me into his arms and kissed me. Finally. What else do we need to do? Well, we need to meet with the invitation designer this evening. Then I need to schedule my dress appointment, and we need to... I spotted a chocolate cookie display that spelled Mrs. Statham out of the corner of my eye. Give me one second. I have to try one of those. I walked over and stuffed one into my mouth. Then another, and another. God, I'm in heaven. As I was eating my fifth one, I heard a raspy voice behind my back. Jonathan Statham, as in THE Jonathan Statham, the woman said. My husband and I are both huge fans of your cell phones. Congratulations on your engagement. It's an absolute pleasure to show you our gallery today. I tried to swallow down one last cookie before I turned back around to greet her. It's a pleasure to do business with you as well. He wrapped his arm around my waist and spun me around. This is my fiancé, Claire Grayson. She was just talking about how much she loved... I don't want anything from here. I could feel the blood draining from my face. What? He raised his eyebrow. I thought you just said... Claire? Amanda's eyes widened as she looked back and forth between me and Jonathan. You're engaged? To him? Well... Congratulations! That's... Wow! She said something. Something that sounded like, I hope you won't let our personal past interfere with doing business with one another. But all I could do was stand there and stare at her in shock, in disgusted disbelief. And the more I stared at her, the more I tried my hardest not to lunge at her and give her the beatdown she deserved. She hadn't changed much since the last time I'd seen her. She still had long, flowing auburn hair and soft brown eyes that would make it hard for anyone to believe that she was a home-wrecking bitch. I'm only the part-time manager, she whispered. You don't have to work directly with me if you don't want to. I don't want to. I narrowed my eyes at her. I don't want to work with anyone that even fucking knows you. Claire, you don't have to be like this. A lot of time has passed, and if you would just give me a chance to... You're not carrying a baby anymore, Amanda, I snapped. And since I still owe you an ass-kicking for what you did to me, I suggest that you simply shut up and let me and my fiancé walk out of that door without you saying another word to either of us. Her face turned white and she stepped back, allowing us to walk past her and out of the store. I was shocked at how well I'd kept it together in front of her, because as soon as I made it outside, I lost it. Am I in the Twilight Zone? I screamed at Jonathan. Did that really just happen? She works in San Francisco now? Why couldn't she and that bastard live someplace else? And why didn't Ashley and Caroline tell me they'd moved here? They could have at least warned me. They're smarter than that. Calm down. He put his hands on my shoulders. Neither of them had any idea. There was no way you could have known about her being here either. You've always thought she was still...
In Pittsburgh, where she and Ryan belong. What the hell is this, Jonathan? Both of them? Here? I see them in the same week?
He stared into my eyes, and it looked as if he was about to speak, but he pulled me into his arms and held me close.
I don't want to lie to you, but it still makes me sick.
My voice cracked.
I can't stomach either of them. I just can't do it. I'm really happy now, and I don't want them anywhere around my happiness. I don't like knowing that they still exist.
I kept shaking my head, but I didn't allow a single tear to fall. I wouldn't dare. I'd let myself come this far, and I didn't want to go back. Ever.
Can we cancel today's meeting with the invitation designer and reschedule?
I looked up at him.
I just want to be at home with you for the rest of the day.
Of course. He walked me to the car and helped me inside. Before he joined me, I heard him say something to Greg. There's a catering business in Pittsburgh called Stella's. Find a way to fly the director and her team here this weekend, so we can talk to them.
Chapter 4. Jonathan. I looked over the confirmation files for our honeymoon trip, double-checking each flight's time and each pilot's flight history. Claire was a lot more comfortable with flying now, but whenever we didn't use my personal pilot, she insisted on having a copy of the new pilot's safety record before stepping on board. She'd been asking me where we were going after our wedding every day, even attempting to withhold sex to get it out of me, but I wanted everything to be a surprise. I wanted her to love every single second of our trip. Everything looks great, I nodded to Haley. Thank you very much. Make sure Claire gets a copy of these pilot records in the next few weeks.
Will do,
and you're welcome. She took the papers and placed them into her folder. You know, I honestly never thought that you would get married.
Why not?
I did come live with you once you started building this company, remember? Before I got smart and went away to college. There were a lot of women in and out of that condo.
No, there weren't, I sighed.
I never brought any woman near you, and you know that.
I didn't see them, but I found all their panties underneath the couch cushions, the little mementos they left behind so you could remember how amazing the night was.
They even left little notes on the inside tags.
Last night was the best night of my life. You're the best fuck I've ever had. And my personal favorite, ooh, call me any time, Jonathan. I'll drop whatever I'm doing if it means I get to fuck you again.
Get out of my office, Haley, she laughed. I looked through the Bergstrom account earlier. I don't think we should sign with them, but the board thinks differently, so make sure you read over everything tonight. There's also a meeting with the accounting division at 3 to discuss new ways to track executive spending. And oh yeah, you need to make sure you have that buyout file for your international call in a few hours. Angela briefed me on all of this hours ago because you weren't here on time today. For the fourth day in a row. Care to explain why?
I can be late.
You can be unemployed. She crossed her arms. Are you this strict with Ashley and Caroline? Do they get the overprotective treatment too? You're avoiding my question.
I am.
She smiled and flipped her blonde hair over her shoulder.
I'm also thinking about putting in a complaint to HR about the CEO being excessively hard on me, so watch it.
Can you at least make sure you're on time for your dress fitting next week? Claire stresses out about anything wedding-related if it's more than a second late.
I'll be there early. I still can't believe she asked me to be a bridesmaid. I'm so honored to give you and your craziness away to someone else. Does she even know how crazy you are yet? Have you shown her your true colors, or are you saving them for later?
Haley?
Mr. Statham?
Angela's voice came over the intercom. Yes?
One of your security advisors is here, sir. He says it's urgent. Should I tell him to wait until you're done meeting with Haley?
No, I shook my head. We're more than done here. Send him in, please.
Oh, and Angela?
Yes, Mr. Statham.
On little Miss Statham's way out, could you please hand her the employee policy on tardiness and order her a Cartier watch? With the biggest numbers available, please. Have it shipped overnight.
Yes, sir.
Haley shook her head at me and pursed her lips.
You are the worst.
I love you, too. I watched as she rushed out of my office, as she nearly collided with my second-highest security chief, Clive.
Where's Greg?
I motioned for him to sit in front of my desk.
He's training a new member today. Would you like me to bring him up instead?
No, that's okay. What's going on? He removed a small brown box from the inside of his jacket and handed it to me.
We found this outside of Miss Grayson's store this morning.
Mail?
No, it was found at 6 a.m. There's no return address and mail doesn't run overnight. We believe the small red initials of R.H. belong to Mr. Hayes, the man we've been keeping tabs on.
Have you found any new information?
No, but he knows we're tailing him, so he's giving us the runaround. We do have a reservation at an executive condo building in his firm's name, though. I've seen him go inside a few times, but he never spends the night. It's always in and out. He's still paying the mortgage on a house in Pittsburgh, so we assume his visit here is temporary.
Thank you, Clive.
My pleasure, Mr. Statham. I'll let you know the moment we find anything else.
I nodded and waited until he left my office. I immediately let Angela know that I didn't want to be bothered for the next 30 minutes. I stared at the small brown box that was sitting in front of me, wondering why the fuck Ryan would attempt to give Claire anything. And then I ripped it open. A picture and a letter.
The picture was a faded one of Claire, Ryan, and Amanda.
It had to have been at least 10 years old, because they were all dressed in outdated clothing. One of Ryan's arms was around each of them, and they were all smiling widely and holding their thumbs up. At the bottom of the picture he'd written, "Remember this?" Irritated, I unfolded the letter and read.
"Dear Claire, I'm sorry for showing up to your store unannounced last week, but I knew that if I contacted you in advance, you wouldn't agree to see me. It's the same reason why I didn't tell Ashley and Caroline about me moving here 6 months ago. Why I told them we'd have to reschedule our last visit until this winter. I know that even though they love us both equally, their loyalty lies with you. Like I said before, I really need to talk to you, alone, one-on-one. It's something I'd rather not put in a letter or say over the phone, so I would appreciate it if you could just remember how things used to be between us for just 5 minutes. If you could just remember how we used to be able to tell each other any and everything. I would really appreciate your time. I know deep down you still have some form of love for me. Your first, Ryan." I reread those last lines. "I know deep down you still have some form of love for me," and "your first," and tried my hardest not to pick up the phone and put a hit out on this man's life. My blood was heating to levels I never knew existed, and I was seconds away from exploding. I picked up my phone and called Greg.
"Mr. Statham," he answered.
"Please tell me you know exactly where Claire's ex-husband lives, and you're just keeping it away from me so I don't murder him."
"I do know, sir."
"I thought so.
Do you know why he's in town?"
"We're still trying to figure that out."
"I will make you aware when I know. Is that all?"
"No, I want all of Claire's mail screened from now on. Nothing from Ryan Hayes, R.H., or anything without a return address gets into her mailbox. And I want you to give all of those things to me so I can personally get rid of them."
Mail tampering is a federal crime, Mr. Statham. I don't give a fuck. Do it. I hung up and glanced at Ryan's letter one last time before stuffing it down my shredder. I'm going to kill him. My alarm for today's board meeting started going off, but I was too lost to reach into my pocket and turn it off. I sat still at my desk, stunned, angry, annoyed. I couldn't believe her ex-husband's nerve after all this time. Couldn't believe he would even attempt to contact Claire, my Claire. I was about to cancel all my meetings for the day and go down to Corey's office to do another round of investigating, but the special ringtone I had for Claire began to sound. I pulled out my phone and read her text message. I still can't believe that you send me flowers every single day. You are completely over the top, but I enjoy every second of it. The bouquets you sent today are absolutely amazing, and I love them. I love you so much, Jonathan. Your last, Claire. Smiley face. And just like that, my blood temperature began to cool, and the ache in my chest slowly gave way. I'll deal with Ryan later. How about this one? Corey held a mannequin's hand in front of me, slowly waving it so I could see how the diamonds sparkled in the light. We were standing in the only jewelry store I trusted, Valenti's, and the store owner had shut it down so I could shop for Claire's wedding band in private. I slipped the ring off the plastic finger and held it in front of my face, shaking my head. Claire wouldn't like it. Any woman would appreciate a band with rare pink diamonds. Any woman. Trust me, I've been with enough of them to know, he smiled. Speaking of any woman, didn't you mention a threesome recently? It was with two actresses, right? You never told me if it worked in your favor or not. Couldn't do it, he shrugged. Wait a minute, why are you getting Claire another diamond ring? Her engagement ring is already 18 carats. Isn't that enough? I want to do something special for her, since she's doing something special with mine. Right, he rolled his eyes. I should have known that you would end up proposing. You were a goner the minute you told me about her. That's not true. Of course it isn't. You've always called me at 1 o'clock in the morning to tell me about some random woman you saw at a party, some woman you've never even spoken to, and you've always made me track her down 4 hours later. It was 6 hours later. That makes it far less stalkerish, doesn't it? He pulled out his phone. When exactly is the wedding? I need to make sure I don't make any plans that week. We haven't set the date yet. I spotted two diamond bands in the case. Separately, they were appealing, but together, they could be stunning. As if he'd read my mind, he picked up the two rings and placed them on another mannequin's finger. You're getting married in less than 3 months, and you haven't set the date yet? You have the IPO ball planned 6 months in advance, and you didn't even want to go. We're meeting with the wedding planner next week. He raised his eyebrow, but he didn't say anything. Is everything all right, Mr. Statham, Mr. Walters? The store owner walked over to us. Have you found something that you like? I slid the plastic hand across the counter. I want the ring to be a mix of these two designs. Not welded together, though. It'll be too thick. And I want the same engravings that we discussed before. Of course, Mr. Statham. This should be easy. Shit, I've got to go. Corey's eyes widened as he looked at his phone and started walking backwards. Firewall breach for the second time today. I'll call you later. I waited for the guards to let him out of the store before refocusing my attention on the rings. What were you saying, Miss Valenti? That this should be an easy fix, but it's going to take me at least 2 to 3 weeks to perfect it. That's a lot of tiny diamonds, and they need time to set. But as usual, your engraved messages to Claire make me cry, she smiled. She's very lucky to have you. Since you're designing my ring with her, will my band match hers? She raised her eyebrow. What? Will my band match hers? She slid her glasses down from her forehead and pulled out her S-tablet, scrolling down the screen. It might match yours, but since she hasn't asked me to design it, I'm not sure. What? She didn't book a session with you? She shook her head and showed me the tablet. You're my best customer. I always push your appointments to the top of the list. My staff knows that Miss Grayson is to receive the same treatment. She's never called me, ever. I narrowed my eyes at the screen, hoping that her vision was the problem, and that Claire had indeed scheduled an appointment like she promised to, but there was nothing there. All the purchases and appointments were things I'd made. The Harry Winston bracelet, the anchor necklace, the vintage charm necklace and matching ring, the engagement ring, various things for Caroline and Ashley, and now this, her wedding band.
"She may be using someone else, Mr. Statham," she offered.
"She doesn't know anyone else." "Right. Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure doing business with you as always. Do I need to pay for this now?"
"No, I think you're good for it."
She winked and walked over to my side of the counter, leading me to the door.
"I'll do all the work on this one personally and call you for a follow-up appointment to make sure you like it. I'm looking forward to your wedding."
I asked her a few questions about her life, how her kids were doing, if any of the colleagues I'd referred had stopped by, and then I shook her hand and promised to personally deliver her an invitation. As soon as I stepped outside, the valet brought my car around and I handed him whatever bills were left in my wallet. I was too out of it to count or care. I sat behind the wheel and stared straight ahead.
Why didn't Claire make the ring appointment? What the hell is going on with her? Did she even book our meeting with the wedding planner?
I scrolled through my phone and called the number she'd given me for the wedding planning firm.
"Dream Wedding Associates," a woman answered. "This is Charlotte speaking. How may I help you today?"
"I need to speak to the director right now."
She paused. "Well, she's currently busy at the moment, but if you give me your name..."
"Jonathan Statham."
She gasped. "I'm sorry, Mr. Statham. I'll connect you right away."
The phone rang two times before a woman with a high-pitched voice answered.
"This is Miss Corwin. Who am I speaking to this afternoon?"
"Jonathan Statham."
"Oh, Mr. Statham."
Her pitch rose even higher.
"I am so excited and honored that you chose me to coordinate your wedding. I promise that it will be the wedding of the year. It's going to be the best one I've ever done."
"So my fiancé has booked an appointment with you?"
"Of course she has."
She sounded confused.
"I'm scheduled to meet with the both of you..."
There were papers rattling the background.
"Next Thursday at 6. She told me how you feel about the tiny details. So she and I are going to meet Friday to go over those alone. But all the bones, colors, location, date, etc. will be discussed Thursday. I'm so excited. I can't wait."
"Me either." I glared at the picture Ryan had sent to Claire earlier, the picture I'd left on my dashboard. "As a matter of fact, I need to ask you a few more questions."
Chapter 5. Claire. Across and forward, backwards and across and forward. I weaved my needle through the lampshade, trying to make the stitches as neat as possible. I'd been locked inside my office all day, sewing order after order. Since one of my handmade lampshades had been featured in a national magazine last week, I'd had to hire 3 more people to fill all the incoming requests. I'd even considered shutting down the store for a couple of days to finish, but my staff offered to stay late and help.
"Miss Grayson?" Rita's voice came over the intercom. "Lisa and Sam are heading home for the day, and your fiancé is on line 1.
"Thank you." I picked up the phone. "Yes, Jonathan?
Come home."
"I will, right after this last piece. I only have 12 more patches to sew."
"It's 8 o'clock, Claire. Come home now."
I sighed. "You can't give me 15 more minutes?"
"No, now."
He hung up. I rolled my eyes and picked up my needle again, sticking it through the bottom. I'd accidentally used the wrong fabric earlier, and I needed to finish it for a customer pickup tomorrow. I'll explain it to him later. When I was halfway done, there was a light knock at my door. "Come in," I said, still focused on my project.
"Miss Grayson?"
Greg's deep voice made me look up.
"Mr. Statham is adamant about me bringing you home right now."
"Is something wrong?"
"He just wants you home."
He held the door open and gestured for me to stand up.
"Non-negotiable."
"Okay." I called Rita to thank her for staying so late. Then I grabbed my blazer and walked out front, tossing the store's keys to her on my way out. Greg opened the back door of the town car and waited until I was comfortable before pulling off. "Greg?" I cleared my throat.
"Yes, Miss Grayson?"
He looked at me through the rearview mirror.
How long have you been working for Jonathan? Since he first started his company? Did he treat all his girlfriends like this? Make them drop whatever they were doing just because he wanted to see them? No. He shook his head. But you chauffeured them around too, right? Those few serious girlfriends that he had? Miss Grayson, I'm just trying to make conversation to get my mind off the fact that he just demanded that I come home. That's all. Of course. He pulled the car onto the highway ramp and turned the music up a notch. Are you going to answer my question, Greg? He sighed. Mr. Statham has never asked me to chauffeur any of his other girlfriends. What? How did they get around when they went on dates? He drove his own car to pick them up. Did he take them on his yachts? Miss Grayson, he kept his voice firm. I can remember a few random dates on his yacht from years past, but to the best of my knowledge, you are the only woman who has been on all of his yachts. With the exception of his sister and your daughters, you are the only woman who has flown on his private plane, and you are, without a doubt, the only woman who I have personally chauffeured around. You are also the only woman he's ever shown his real home. Now, if you don't mind, I would prefer not to talk about my employer. I nodded and sat back in the seat, completely speechless. All this time that we'd been together, I'd always thought he'd shown his softer side to someone else. Knowing that he hadn't made me feel even more special. As the town car rolled past the right exit to take me home, I tapped Greg on the shoulder. I thought you were taking me home. Mr. Statham called me a few minutes ago. He wants me to bring you to the airstrip instead. He's flying me somewhere? On short notice? He didn't say anything further, Miss Grayson. Half an hour later, the town car cruised into the private jet port and stopped a few hundred feet in front of Jonathan and his plane. There were 20 people standing around him. His crew, a few of his top accountants, and a couple of people I'd never seen before. He was pacing in front of them, shaking his head in anger, giving orders of some type. Greg opened my door and reached for my hand, whispering a warning. Something's been bothering him all day. I nodded and watched as Jonathan continued to yell at his employees, something about, "This is unacceptable," and, "Why am I just now finding out about this today?" I tried to step backwards and slip back inside the town car, but he looked over his shoulder and his blue eyes met mine. He immediately stopped talking and stared at me, looking me up and down. He strolled over to where I was standing and pulled me into his arms. Before I could say, "Hello," he pressed his lips against mine and slipped his tongue into my mouth, kissing me until I couldn't breathe. "Why do you have such a hard time coming home at 6? He whispered harshly. "We've discussed this too many times. I guess I keep forgetting that I have a curfew. It's an agreement. You should have gotten it in writing." A faint smile played on his lips, and he leaned forward and kissed me again, more passionately this time. He caressed my back with his hands and slipped his tongue deeper and deeper into my mouth. I opened my eyes and realized that the 20 or so people that were behind us were now staring in our direction, whispering to one another. I pulled away from him, blushing. "You can't kiss me like that in front of your staff." "I can kiss you however I want." He clasped my hand and walked me over to his team. "I need 3 advisors, 1 executive, and 1 intern. Take off in 5 minutes. He mumbled something under his breath as he led me over to the plane. As usual, he looked into my eyes for what felt like forever before helping me on board. He motioned for me to take a seat first, and then he sat down next to me. "Where are we going?" I asked. He didn't answer. "Could you tell my team to hurry up and decide who's coming with us?" He shook his head at the flight attendant. Within minutes, a few of his staff members filed into the cabin. "Are you going to answer my question, Jonathan?" "No. Put on your seatbelt." I blinked and he rolled his eyes, reaching over my lap to do it himself. I tried to read his expression so I could see what he was thinking, but he was perfectly stoic. "Mr. Statham," the flight attendant said as she looked at me, not him, "the pilot is asking if you would like for us to wait a few minutes for takeoff, or..." He cupped my face in his hands. "Are you feeling okay?" I nodded. "We can take off." He clasped my hand. I shut my eyes as the flight attendant reminded his staff to fasten their seatbelts. as the plane roared to life and slowly moved down the tarmac. As we ascended into the air, I felt Jonathan squeezing my hand and kissing my cheek. I kept my eyes closed until I heard the familiar ping that signified that we were free to move about the cabin, until I heard the pilot's voice over the intercom. "We're all clear now, Miss Grayson." I looked behind our seats and noticed that all of his associates were busy typing away on their screens, completely preoccupied by whatever they were doing.
"Jonathan, I was honestly worried. What's going on? Tell me."
He unbuckled my seatbelt and pulled me up. "We need to talk. Now." He tugged me down the aisle and into the plane's luxury bathroom. Locking the door, he pulled me flush against his chest and removed something from his pocket.
"What is this?"
He held a picture of me, Ryan, and Amanda in between us.
"Where did you get this?"
"One of my security guards found it outside your office this morning. It was with a letter, in a box from Ryan."
"Your security guards check my mail?"
"As of today, yes."
"Where is this picture from?"
"Can we discuss the mail tampering issue first? I honestly don't think..."
"Claire."
"It's from our first high school reunion."
"I thought you said you never went to one."
"I went to the first one, the one that was in Pittsburgh." I trailed my fingers around the loosely fitted black dress I was wearing in the photograph, around the pretty gold bracelet that matched the one Amanda was wearing. I cringed as I read Ryan's, "Remember this?" note.
"It doesn't mean anything to you?"
He tilted my chin up.
"No."
I shook my head.
"It's actually quite ironic that he would send this picture, because I do remember this. I remember it very well."
I paused.
"They passed out these crystallized awards for the people who won superlatives in the senior yearbook. Ryan and I got cutest couple and couple most likely to get married, and me and Amanda got most likely to be best friends forever."
"I'm sorry."
"It's in the past." I shrugged.
"Where's the letter?"
"You think I saved that shit for you to read?"
"Of course not." I rolled my eyes. "Now, about you tampering with my mail."
"What about it?"
"Well, one, it's illegal. Two, Ryan's not a threat, so..."
"He is when he wants something that's mine."
"I don't think that's the case. I just think he has something to say, but I honestly don't care what it is."
"You shouldn't."
He narrowed his eyes at me.
"You shouldn't care about him at all."
"I don't." Silence. He slid his thumb underneath the anchor charm of my necklace and spoke slowly.
"You're not his anymore. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep him far away from you because..."
He pressed a warm kiss against my chest.
"You belong to me."
I was silent.
"Do you have a problem with that?"
"No."
"If he happens to slip past my security..."
He looked into my eyes and slipped his hands around my waist.
"Or if he comes into your store again, or anywhere around you when I'm not there, you need to call me. ASAP.
I nodded, and he drew my bottom lip into his mouth, harshly trapping it between his teeth for several seconds, before letting it go.
"Tell me you'll call me."
"Yes, I'll call you."
"I don't share."
He traced my lips with his fingertips, and I never will.
Never.
I wasn't sure what to say or how to respond when he looked at me like this. I simply stared into his deep blue eyes and felt my heart beating an entirely new rhythm.
Was that all we had to talk about?
I stepped to my left and reached over to press the door handle, but he grabbed my hand and pushed me against the wall.
"No, that's not it."
He reached down and pulled the silver clip I was wearing out of my hair. He brushed his thumb across my cheek and murmured something I didn't understand. Just as I was about to ask him to repeat himself, the jet began to shake back and forth, and I instinctively clung to him and shut my eyes, bracing for the worst.
"It's just turbulence, Claire,"
he whispered. But the plane was shaking more violently, so I clung to him even more, digging my nails into his neck. The rough rattling continued, and I heard the shuddering of the small cabinets next to me, heard the series of loud pings that meant we were supposed to be in our seats with our seatbelts buckled.
"I won't feel anything if we crash. I won't feel a thing."
I took several short breaths and lowered Jonathan's head to mine.
"I love you."
I wasn't sure how long I clung to him, but after I silently said all my goodbyes to everyone else I loved, I noticed that the shaking had stopped,
and Jonathan's arms were tightly locked around me. There was another light ping, but just to be sure, I counted to 60 before opening my eyes. When my gaze met Jonathan's, I realized that he was smiling at me with his eyebrow raised. "I'm glad you think that was funny," I rolled my eyes and pushed him away, reaching for the door. "I'm bursting with laughter myself. Stop." He blocked me and hit a few digits on a keypad, effectively locking us inside. Then he lowered his mouth to mine. "I wasn't laughing at you, Claire. I was just staring at you because you really look fucking beautiful today." He hesitated, looked as if he wanted to say something more, but he crushed his lips onto mine and pinned me against the door. I moaned as he took his time kissing me, running his fingers through every inch of my hair. I didn't even close my eyes to savor the feeling. I couldn't. He was commanding me to keep them open, giving me a look that said he was about to fuck me senseless. Without breaking our kiss, he slid the straps of my dress down my shoulders and pushed it down, letting it fall to the floor. I slipped my hands to his pants, unbuckling his belt and unzipping his fly, feeling how hard his cock was already. I was starting to unbutton his jacket, but he grabbed my hands and pinned them above my head. He trailed his tongue across my collarbone and in between my breasts, using his teeth to unfasten the latch at the front. When he finally got it open, he swirled the tip of his tongue around both of my nipples, biting down on each one until I murmured his name. Tilting my head back, he pressed kisses up and down my throat and slowly released my hands. He slipped his thumb underneath the band of my panties and slowly ripped them off. I gasped as he hooked one of my legs around his waist, as he slowly pushed his cock inside of me and commanded that I wrap my other leg around him.
"Jonathan, shh."
He placed my arms around his neck and pressed a light kiss against my forehead. I bit my lip as he cupped my ass and started to slowly move me up and down. He pressed my back against the wall and slid his hands underneath my thighs, gripping me roughly as he began to pound into me. There was no talking between us, just the sound of heavy breathing and our skin slapping against each other. The plane shook again, and I tightened my arms around his neck as he sped up our rhythm. I tried not to cry out, but I couldn't help it.
"Jonathan!"
He drew both of my lips into his mouth and held them captive with his teeth, continuing to drive himself in and out of me. I was murmuring into his mouth, begging him to release my lips, but he bit down on them even harder. I squeezed my thighs around him as tremors started to make their way through my body, as I felt myself getting closer and closer to an orgasm.
"Fuck."
He stared into my eyes, silently saying, "I love you," and we exploded together, clinging to each other as our bodies shook violently, as the plane made a noticeable turn in the skies. He let my lips go and panted, "I love you so fucking much, Claire. So fucking much." He kissed my face over and over again, and I breathlessly told him that I loved him, too. He looked into my eyes for a long time, caressing my cheek with his palm. As soon as my breathing was normal again, he took a step back, with our bodies still entwined, and sat down on the small window bench. I tried to move out of his lap, but he held me still and kissed my lips. "I'll never get enough of you." He caressed my back with his hands. "You have no idea how much you mean to me."
"I do. I feel the same way about..."
My sentence was interrupted with a hot and passionate kiss. When he finally pulled away from me, I tried to finish what I was going to say, but he kissed me until I completely forgot. I wasn't sure how much time passed with us sitting like that, but the next thing I felt was him slowly moving himself out of me and repositioning me in his lap.
"I feel like we've done everything," I murmured.
"Everything?"
"In regards to sex."
"No, not everything." He cupped my ass and squeezed it, trailing one finger between my cheeks. "But I figured we should save something for the honeymoon." My eyes widened in shock. "I can also think of several other places where I'd love to fuck you."
"You should make a list."
"I will."
He gently eased me out of his lap. "Are you going to tell me where we're going now?"
to the only notary I trust. He stood and picked my dress up from the floor. He wasn't able to charter a jet on short notice, so we're going to him in L.A.
Why do we need to see a notary?
Because you didn't sign the papers I sent to your office.
I sighed. He'd sent me a sealed box of property deeds, yacht ownership records, and several investment portfolios at the beginning of the week. He'd had them delivered via two of his security guards with a handwritten note. I want to share everything I own with you before we're married. Jonathan.
Why are you in such a rush? I asked.
Why are you not?
Because I'm being practical. Don't you think it makes more sense to wait until I actually have your last name before I co-own everything you've worked so hard to get?
Not unless you plan on backing out of marrying me. His voice was firm. Since you decided not to sign the papers when I told you to, when my bank was willing to look the other way, we both need a separate set of witnesses and a notary for each set of contracts.
Oh. I'm sorry, I didn't know that was why you did that.
And the second we're done signing all these fucking contracts, we're going to make a stop at a hotel.
We're spending the night in L.A.?
Yes, with our wedding planner.
What? I thought we were meeting with her next week. I still need to look through a few magazines and catalogs to make sure I have everything I want.
We're doing it now, Claire. Right? Now. I feel like you're delaying this, and if that's the case, I need to know why.
He looked as if he was waiting for me to say something, but I shook my head.
If it's not the case, I need to know that you're as serious as I am about getting married.
He pulled me close to his chest.
You can still meet with her next week to fine-tune all the small details, but I want the date and the venue set tonight.
I am very serious about marrying you, Jonathan.
Prove it.
Okay, let me get this straight. Our wedding planner paced our hotel suite, tapping her lip. Her name was Paris Corwin, and she was the top wedding planner in the country. She'd worked with hundreds of celebrities, superstar athletes, and had even been an advisor for the royal wedding overseas. Impeccably dressed in a dark gray suit and a creamy colored blouse, she was wearing her brown hair in an asymmetrical bob that framed her heart-shaped face.
You want the ceremony to be outdoors facing the ocean, but you don't want it to be within miles of anywhere that's accessible to the public? She asked, looking at me. And you also don't want it to be on a beach?
Right.
And you want the reception to be in an indoor facility that's within walking distance from the ceremony space, but it has to have glass ceilings?
Correct.
She took off her glasses and rubbed her forehead. It also has to be in San Francisco?
Jonathan spoke up. We would prefer that.
Okay, well, I'm just going to be honest with you two. You may have to concede on a few things if you want to have it there.
A few things like what? I raised my eyebrow.
Well, she walked over to the projector screen she'd set up on the other side of the room. She dimmed the lights and clicked her mini remote. This is a picture of the Shores Resort. It's a beachfront resort, but they have a huge ballroom with glass ceilings. She clicked again, and another picture appeared on screen. This is La Santa Maria Resort. It has a beautiful outdoor area that's near the beach, but instead of sand, there's grass, which is what you want. But the ballroom doesn't feature glass ceilings. It does have floor-to-ceiling glass walls, though, and those walls are 20 feet high. One of her team members walked over and handed me a white binder. Inside that binder, you'll find similar resorts that are just as grand, Miss Corwin said. They're just as pricey, but they're only missing one of the things that you're looking for.
Do they all have the grand steps for the reception? I looked at Jonathan.
I want to enter the reception by walking down the steps, right before our first dance. All the pages with the pink tabs have grand steps. The others have standard steps.
Okay, I sighed. Let me look. I opened the binder and flipped through the pages relatively quick. All the venues were beautiful, but they didn't have everything I wanted. Everything I'd dreamed about.
What about this one?
Jonathan pointed at a page that featured a historic castle near the beach. It was gorgeous. Sun-drenched stones, grand marble steps. But the ballroom didn't have a glass ceiling, and the outdoor area for the ceremony had more dirt than grass.
I shook my head and shut the binder. I'm sorry, but this isn't what I want. I don't want to concede anything. If we move it to another city, will our options be better?
Yes, Miss Grayson, they actually would. Let me show you those options.
She took a flash drive out of her pocket and placed it into her laptop.
Let's start with Los Angeles. If you looked here at this resort...
Miss Corwin, Jonathan cut her off. You have a full staff of architects on your staff, correct?
Yes, of course. I'll make sure that the gazebo you both want is constructed to perfection.
Actually, he lifted my hand and kissed it. I want you to build my fiancé's dream wedding venue from the ground up. Give her whatever she wants.
There was silence.
Ear-deafening silence. Everyone's eyes widened, including mine, and all her staff members' faces went white.
I looked over at him in shock, whispering, "No, that's insane! You don't have to do that.
It's just like buying a car. It's nothing."
He kissed me and turned his attention to Miss Corwin again.
"You have a week to find a purchasable location site in San Fran. But I want the proposed budget on my desk by Monday and a list of all the building permits you'll need. How long do you think construction will take?"
She blinked. "It would take about 8 to 10 weeks once the permit's cleared, sir," one of her staff members spoke up. "We'd probably have to bring on another company to help, but depending on the height of the building, we'd also need a zoning clearance from the city. That takes months to get, sometimes years."
"I'll take care of it." He didn't seem fazed. "What's next?"
Well, Miss Corwin slowly regained her composure. We need to discuss the more intricate aspects now. What color scheme did you have in mind for your special day?
Jonathan looked over at me.
I was still trying to wrap my head around the fact that he was having my dream venue custom built. I was thinking angel white and champagne as the main colors, with hints of blush pink, ivory, and pastel yellow throughout. Nothing too heavy, though. Maybe a pop of color in the petals down the aisle or in the decorations at dinner, but not enough that it'll take over the main colors.
"That sounds beautiful, Miss Grayson," she nodded. "We can fine-tune the smaller things next week, but just so I have an idea about the bridal party numbers..." She clicked her pen. "Who is your maid of honor?"
"I have two. My daughters, Ashley and Caroline."
"And how many bridesmaids will you have?"
"Three. My best friends, Sandra and Helen, and his sister, Haley."
"Thank you." She scribbled their names down.
"Mr. Statham, who is the best man, and how many groomsmen will you have?"
"Corey Walters is the best man. I'll have two groomsmen."
"Very well. I'll bring samples of your color choices next week. Oh, and while I'm searching for a place to build your venue, could you keep me informed about the status of your dress? I always like to match some of the floral arrangements to the theme of the bride's attire, if possible."
"You've already bought your dress, correct?"
Jonathan squeezed my hand. "Not yet. I'm going shopping for it this weekend with my mom." He raised his eyebrow, but Miss Corwin kept talking.
"I assume we're going with black tuxedos for the groomsmen, Mr. Statham?"
"Yes."
"Great. Well, since I have to find a place to build your venue, if you two don't have any questions for me..." She looked back and forth between us, waiting for us to say something. "I'll have the proposed budget for you on Monday, Mr. Statham. And Miss Grayson, I look forward to seeing you again later."
We both stood up and shook her hand, thanking all of her team members for having us on such short notice. I helped them pack their binders and posters away, and traveled with them down to the lobby.
"Wait here,"
Jonathan said to me as he escorted them outside to the waiting limo he'd ordered. As soon as the car drove away, he walked up to me and pulled me into his arms.
"Please tell me you were just being coy with her about your wedding dress."
"Coy?
Is it hideous? Show me a picture of it and I'll let you know my thoughts."
"No," I rolled my eyes. "I honestly don't have it yet. I'm going shopping for it this weekend."
"You told me you started shopping for your dress last weekend."
"No, I didn't."
"Yes, you did."
He narrowed his eyes at me.
"That's the reason why you came home late last Friday."
He pulled his phone out and scrolled through his texts.
"Friday, 5:48 p.m. Jonathan, I'm going to be late for dinner tonight. I scheduled a late appointment with a dress boutique at 6. I promise I'll make it up to you. Claire.
He raised his eyebrow in anticipation of an answer. Okay, I did have an appointment, but it wasn't at a dress shop.
You lied to me?
I couldn't tell you what it was for because it's for our anniversary.
So you lied to me.
He pulled me even closer. Jonathan, it was a consultation appointment. After our anniversary, I'll be happy to show you the timestamp on my receipt so you can see that I wasn't lying to you. I did have something scheduled. He blinked. Then he stared into my eyes for a long time, not saying anything at all. Am I supposed to be staring back at you right now? Are we playing a game of some type? I smirked. First one to blink actually acts like an adult for the rest of the night?
Yes, future wife.
He tightened his grip around my waist.
We are going to play a game. It's called, Jonathan is going to teach Claire a very strenuous lesson about lying to him.
Chapter 6. Claire. I stood still in the center of a platform, trying my hardest not to roll my eyes. I was at a bridal boutique, patiently counting down the minutes until Greg drove me back home. The dress I was trying on had been selected by my mother, so I was sure it looked terrible, but I'd appeased her and tried it on anyway.
Please don't drive Jonathan away like you did last year. She zipped up the gown.
I almost smacked you for that. I ought to slap you right now for insurance to make sure it doesn't happen again. I shook my head and looked at myself in the mirror. That was over 8 months ago. I don't care how long ago it was. If I had a hot, sexy billionaire chasing me like he chased you, I would have given in the moment he asked me out. Hell, I probably would have slept with him the first night, too. Thank you, Mother. I frowned at my gown's neckline. I'll be sure to give that same advice to Ashley and Caroline one day. Anyway, I'm not sure if I like this dress. I don't think he'll like it either. There's way too much beading across the top. There was actually way too much of everything on the dress. It covered every inch of me from the neck down. It had laced sleeves, a pleated waist, and enough beading for a kindergarten class to be entertained for a week.
Well, I think it looks traditional, she said. You can never go wrong with traditional. I'm sure Jonathan will appreciate you in something like this.
Are you out of your mind? Helen walked into the room and immediately shooed my mother away. No disrespect, Ms. Grayson, but we'll only be trying on dresses that were sewn in this century, preferably this decade. My mother huffed and headed back out into the boutique. As soon as she was gone, Helen placed a few new gowns against the rack. I flipped one of the price tags over and held back a gasp. $78,000. I knew Jonathan didn't care how much my dress would cost, but every dress in this store was a bit extreme.
Are you excited?
Helen helped me out of the atrocity. I am. I couldn't help but smile. I went to sleep dreaming about our wedding every night.
That's good. You should be. And to celebrate this tying-yourself-down mess, I'm throwing you one hell of a bachelorette party. I'm almost done with the details, so if there are any people you want to invite, let me know. Make sure you tell them that everything is on me.
Oh, no. I pulled the dress over my head. That's okay. I don't really...
You don't really what?
I don't think I want a bachelorette party. I'd rather spend that time with Jonathan. I'll be happy without one.
Claire. She clutched her chest. You are about to get married, which means that for the rest of your life, the rest of your life, you're only going to be able to experience one cock. One cock.
Helen, do you know how depressing that is? Do you remember that day you told all of us that he proposed to you? The day you saw my tears?
I wasn't crying because I was happy. I was crying because I truly felt bad for you. I don't care how good a man is in bed. That's not enough to make me want to sleep with him for the rest of my life.
Are you going to be making a point anytime soon?
I'm throwing you the most epic bachelorette party of all time, regardless of your fiancé's ridiculous warnings.
He warned you?
He did,
she smiled. He
He also sent me an email with some bullshit guidelines that he wants me to follow. Something about not letting your party get too raunchy or over the top. He doesn't want more than 5 men there, and he doesn't want any man to get within 3 feet of you. She scoffed. But guess what? It will be raunchy. It will be over the top. There will be cocks everywhere. And goddammit, Claire, you will fucking love it. Now turn around so I can help you into the next dress. I turned around and shook my head. Over the next few hours, I tried on dress after dress, but I didn't fall in love with any of them. They were either way too simple or way too decorative. What's more was that every time I tried on a dress, Helen and my mother critiqued it, as if I wasn't standing in the room. Then they would argue over who had better taste.
Have you tried looking in our gallery room, Mrs. Statham? I mean, Miss Grayson.
An attendant took a dress off a hanger.
All the dresses in that room are one of a kind.
I haven't, I sighed.
What's the price range?
Very affordable. They start at $90,000.
$90,000?
I wanted to decline, but Helen and my mother were arguing over veils, so I followed the woman out of my suite and into an all-white room. There were only 2 racks of dresses, but they extended from wall to wall. It seemed like they were organized by size, because there was no way of telling what each dress looked like. They were all covered in sheer silver bags with pink tags hanging from their sides. The attendant circled me with measuring tape, stretching it across my shoulders and my breasts, briefly holding it around my hips.
"What type of dress do you love to wear on a regular day?" she asked. "A day when you're only going to be running a few errands?"
"It's usually something simple. Solid color, basic shape, and a V-neckline."
"I see. And how about when you go out on a date?"
"It depends."
"Well, how about your last date? What type of dress did you wear? And where was it, if you don't mind me asking?"
I blushed just thinking about me and Jonathan's last date. It was at a vineyard. Nude-colored lace dress with a low cut in the front.
"Right. And you previously mentioned that you prefer the toned-down organza skirt, sweetheart neckline, and corset bodice. So..."
She thumbed through a few hangers and pulled out a dress.
"This is your wedding gown. Guarantee it."
"What makes you so sure?"
"I'm the best."
She smiled and led me back to my fitting room.
"Let me know how it works for you."
I honestly didn't want to try it on, but I slipped back into my suite and walked right between Helen and my mother.
"Could you two help me into this last one, please? Then we can all get drinks before we head back."
"What about the shopping spree?" my mother frowned. "Jonathan promised me I could get whatever I wanted. Don't you have his credit card with you?"
"Yes,"
I rolled my eyes. "I'll just have Greg pick you up tomorrow and bring you back." I stood still as she and Helen took their time helping me into the long silk dress. I didn't bother looking in the mirror as they tugged and smoothed every inch of it. I just wanted to get this over with and go home. I expected them to start arguing over whether they liked it or not, but they were both staring at me in stunned silence.
"Is it that bad or that good?" I asked.
"It's absolutely perfect." Helen's eyes lit up. "You look beyond beautiful, Claire."
"Would you like to put on the matching veil?"
My mother's eyes were filled with tears. I nodded and stooped down so they could pull my hair into a knot and guide the veil's comb onto my head.
"Don't look yet," Helen smiled. "Let me ask the attendants for some jewelry."
I waited until she returned and tried to be as still as possible as she fastened a Harry Winston wreath around my neck. I tried to sneak a peek of myself, but my mother held my head still and secured a pair of diamond earrings onto my ears. They led me into the main room where the largest mirror was, and helped me onto another platform. As they stepped back, I could see tears falling down their faces. Out of the corner of my eye, I spotted the shop's attendants whispering and nodding their heads in approval. I couldn't take the anticipation anymore. "Can I turn around and look in the mirror now?"
"Yes,"
they said in unison. I slowly spun around and sucked in a breath once I saw my reflection. Oh, my God. The dress was flawless, utter perfection. It was a strapless gown with a sweetheart neckline, a neckline that was embellished with a thin line of sparkling white and silver crystals. The top of the dress fit like a vintage corset and gave way to a long skirt of beautiful organza